welcome to episode 50 of Little Cabin Knits. Does my stash make me a hoarder? Little Cabin Knits is a bi-weekly podcast all about knitting, mental health, advocacy, and life happenings here in the wilds of Alaska with a little bit of hygge sprinkled throughout. I'm your host, Emily. I'm a knitter, crafter, mental health therapist, teacher, and explorer of my home state of Alaska. This week's episode contains admin, raise a cuppa, on the couch, on the shelf, personal skill set, a time for hygge, and contemplation corner. So grab a cuppa of your choice, settle back in. It's getting dark and nippy outside where I'm at. I don't know about where you are, but let's talk about knitting, shall we? Administration. Hi, my friends. My name is Emily, and you can find me on Instagram and Ravelry as Anders Mill Knits. I have a YouTube channel, Between Knits and Purls, and I have another announcement about that in a moment. You can find all the show notes for this podcast and for the YouTube channel. The YouTube channel, I'm not as good as putting show notes up, but I'd always put up show notes for Little Cabin Knits. It's at andersmillknits.wixsite.com/website. Yeah, I know. I still haven't fixed it yet. We talk about this every time, guys. We talk about it every time. If you have a question, a comment, or would like to be a guest on Little Cabin Knits, and yes, I did say guest, because one day I would like to do some recordings with some other people on this show, you can email me at littlecabinknitsak@gmail.com. So, speaking of the YouTube channel of Between Knits and Purls, we have a special event coming up this weekend, November 13th at 8:30 Eastern Time PM, or for me in here in Alaska, that'll be 4:30 my time. Let's see, in the Seattle, Portland area, it'll be 5:30. In Mountain Time, it'll be 6:30. Don't know what it'll be in UK, Australia, or India time, but I'd love to see you guys there because we're having a knitty pajama party, a live event on YouTube. I love doing these things, guys. Honestly, if I could do a live show every time that I am on YouTube, I would be one happy knitter. But we can't do it every time. But Steph and I, or Farmstead Knits, my co-host, we are really excited about this. The goal of this one is simple. Wear your PJs, bring whatever goodies you want as far as like snacks and things, whether that be coffee, hot cocoa, apple cider. Ooh, that sounds good. Hot apple cider. Ooh, that might be what I do. Soda. I usually have soda. Like today, I'm drinking Diet Dr. Pepper, so there you go. Or water. And you can bring snacks galore, carrots. Honestly, I wouldn't choose healthy things. This is not a time to be health conscious. This is a time to party hardy. But no judgment here if that's what you're going to choose. I think I'm going to go with popcorn, although those things get stuck in my teeth and I always get awkward when I'm talking, eating popcorn. I have to think about this some more. I don't know, Snickers. I have to be careful because remember, I'm diabetic. But anyway, I digress. I'm super excited. Can you guys tell? We are going to be knitting live and just chatting with each other. We'd love to have some people live on video with us. And if you would like to be on the show live with us, instead of just in the comments, not that there's any just about that, you can go to our Ravelry group of Between Knits and Purls, and I do have the link to be on the show live on camera right there in our Ravelry group. Now, if you don't have Ravelry, simple enough, you can email me at littlecabinknitsak@gmail.com or at betweenknitsandpearls@gmail.com, or you can private message Steph, myself, or our Instagram account, and we will send you the link, all right, via Instagram. So don't worry, no one will be left out, all right? There's multiple ways to find the link, but I'm so excited. So our goal is to be about an hour, and we're just going to have some fun chatting with you, our dear friends, and enjoying the November crisp weather. And I don't know, I want to hear about what everybody's going to do for Thanksgiving, personally, because that's my favorite holiday. So, you know. Also, we, in January, our next knit along will be our Project Down Along 2022. And the goal of this is to just work on whatever crafty project you have, whether it's knitting, sewing, crocheting, craft, paper craft of some sort, or anything else that you have on the go. And just try to get some of those projects down and off the quote-unquote needles, all right? And so we're going to use the hashtag ProjectDownAlong2022, and I'm still on the hunt for some donations and prizes. We have Knitter Cat, who's given us 2 skeins, and I totally forgot to check to see if anybody else. Maybe I should just go out and start looking for people, right? Anyway, but this is going to run from January 1st through March 31st, and the way you will enter will be on Instagram using the hashtag ProjectDownAlong2022. That's where I am going to find the winners of this, okay? So, that, my friends, is administration. Raise a cuppa. My friends, as I sit here writing my show notes, the snow has begun falling outside my window, and it is so beautiful. I love winter. What I don't love is when I don't have any snow on the ground to relieve the darkness. And so I'm really grateful that it's snowing again, because these past few weeks, when it was a little warmer out, it never got to 40 degrees, but it did get above freezing, and so all the snow went away, and it's been super dark outside. So when you combine the darkness outside with the grossness of the construction going around my house, you know, it wasn't exactly a chipper place to look out at. But I am really grateful. It's so beautiful. It's even making the construction look less ugly at the moment. I do want to make a side note. You may notice that my breathing is a little strained, is the word maybe? I'm not sure exactly what's happening, but my oxygen has been a little bit low. And so we have been going to the doctors to find out about that. And I've been getting winded just talking to people because I haven't been able to take in enough oxygen. So, you might hear me do what I just did, very consciously taking in a deep breath before I start talking. I gave a training earlier today, or I did a presentation earlier today, and I forgot to breathe, take those deep breaths, and it was a little embarrassing, let me just say. So I just wanted to preempt things by saying it this time. You might have noticed it last episode too, I'm not sure. Excuse me. Well, my friends, these past 2 weeks, they have been so much fun, but I can't sit here and tell you that we've gone on adventures of any kind. We haven't been on any adventures since we've been back from our honeymoon. No, but we've been pretty much just hunkered down at the house. We've been slowly cleaning up, going through things, and either donating a lot of items or putting things away in our storage unit until next summer when our camping is on the agenda again. I can't wait for that. And this last weekend, Mr. Radio and I had a John Candy movie marathon. John Candy has been one of, for a long time, most of my life, one of my favorite comedians. And honestly, I just miss that guy. You know, he died while filming the movie Wagons East back in the 90s. And I don't know about you, but I miss him. He always had clean humor. And, you know, even when I was a little kid, you know, my parents were pretty good sticklers about what we kids were allowed to watch. And for the most part, you know, there's some rated R movies out there that John Candy did that, of course, we didn't watch. But for the most part, we could watch most of the John Candy movies. So Mr. Radio and I started out by watching Stripes. Yeah, I know it's rated R, right? But I'm a grown-up now. I'm 40. I can watch a rated R movie. Why did we do this? Well, because at least this girl can't resist the combo of Bill Murray and John Candy in one movie. So we started out with that one. And then I introduced Mr. Radio to my favorite John Candy movie, Who's Harry Crumb? If you haven't watched that, it's hilarious. My family, our favorite quote from that is, "She must be enormous." And we will randomly quote that to each other. It will have nothing to do with whatever we're talking about, but as soon as we say it, everyone starts laughing. And if you watch the show, you'll get it. It's hilarious. And then we moved on to The Great Outdoors, which I thought I hadn't seen before, but of course we got into the movie and I'm like, oh, I totally know this movie. It was hilarious. I loved it. And then we watched Only the Lonely, which turns out was Maureen O'Hara's last movie. You know, she'd come out of retirement to film this movie with John Candy, and it's really good. She gets to die in the movie like 5 times total, and then at the end she gets to kick butt a bit. And while I really love this movie, I guess it didn't do too well in the movie theaters back then, and Maureen O'Hara never filmed another show again after that, which I think is really sad, because I don't know if you guys have ever seen things like The Parent Trap or my personal favorite, McClintock, but Maureen O'Hara, she's always good for a good movie. And then we rounded out the day with his last movie that John Candy ever made, Wagons East, and I felt well satisfied with our endeavors. Yeah, we still have many more classics to watch, like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Home Alone, and Delirious, which is another favorite of mine that I don't think is very well known, and of course, Uncle Buck. But, my goodness, my friends, we watched 5 movies in one weekend. Can you believe that? We had to call it quits somewhere. Also, we were finding it hard to get a hold of some of his lesser well-known movies, such as Delirious, but I still hold out hope on that one, although I did look on Amazon, and the DVD of Delirious was over $44. I was shocked. But diehards like me might actually go for that. I've also been slowly writing thank you cards to everyone from the wedding. It's a surprisingly big job, and so I've taken it just a little bit at a time. My goal is to have the last of the cards sent out by Thanksgiving. Now, speaking of Thanksgiving, we're going to be spending that with my sister's family, and I plan on doing some knitting, diving into creating the wedding album that weekend, probably casting on a new project, because, you know, I can't resist that. And I just can't wait. Thanksgiving is my absolute favorite holiday. My sister and her girls, her family, they are really, really good chefs. And even though I begged and pleaded, they really didn't need me to bring anything because they wanted to make it all. So I'm bringing the veggie platter. That's going to be my contribution, but I'm okay with that. I'm going to enjoy every minute of spending with my family because I haven't really seen them in a couple weeks and I've been missing them. Now, the work on the house continues and I did get a bit miffed at them today because I'd asked them not to do any work on the house today because I had a big test I had to take. And I also was presenting to our board of directors about trauma-informed care. Well, during the middle of my test, all of a sudden, the house started shaking and there was a lot of loud banging going on right outside my office window. And so I hollered at them. Okay, let's just be honest. I screamed at them to stop, but I guess they couldn't hear me and I couldn't leave because the test was timed. And so I just got more and more stressed, but don't worry. I passed the test. I'm good. But when it was all done, I threw on my coat and boots and I marched right out there and I gave them a little piece of my mind. They apologized, saying they'd forgotten that they were not supposed to work on the house today. They're working on my house and the neighbor's house at the same time. So they have plenty of work to do in the neighbor's house. They didn't have to work on mine today. Well, they promised they wouldn't do any more. And thankfully, they kept their promise. If they had done some work while I was presenting to the board of directors, I just don't know what I would have done, guys. because I was already stressed enough. You know, I had a short period of time to present a very big and in-depth topic, trauma-informed care, and so, you know, I was a little stressed. But over the coming days, they plan on doing some of the last big fixes on the house, but luckily I am going to be attending an in-person training. I'm not training. I get to actually attend a training to be certified to teach the Nonviolent De-escalation Curriculum, or CPI, and my hope is that it will all be done by this Saturday, all of the work on the house. It'll all be done, plus I'll be certified, because that was the test I took today. I had to take that one in order to pass my teacher's credentials. And hopefully it'll just all be done. And then, because currently we're at 2 months, 3 weeks, I think, of construction. And honestly, I'm just super exhausted from it all. But I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and that's good news for me. On the couch. Well, I've picked back up my Snowberry cowl by Shannon Cook. I love this cowl. I brought it on the honeymoon thinking I would get some of it done. Never touched it. There was too many things that I wanted to work on, but, you know, I brought way too many projects on the honeymoon trip, that's for sure. But I've knit probably another 2 inches on my Snowberry cowl, and by my calculations, I'm about halfway through the cowl. The yarn I'm using for this is Alaska Jude's yarn in her superwash wool worsted weight. It's her monster skein of 8 ounces, and the yarn doesn't have a colorway, so I can't tell you, but it's in soft greens, blues, and a little bit of whites, and it's just amazing. I love this cowl. I love all the baubles, I love all the lace, I love all the garter stitch, and I love all the colors in the yarn. It's, everything is just wonderful. Now if you remember, this yarn was a gift from a friend back in July, and I cast it on my birthday camping trip, and then a lot of wedding stuff got in the way, so I wasn't able to work on it very much. So now that everything's done, and I finally found my project bag, because this last weekend I put away the last of the honeymoon trip stuff, and so I finally found it. And so I worked a little bit on it this week. Now, the next thing on the needles is my Jelly Roll Blanket by Kay Jones of the Bakery Bears. And this pattern was gifted to me by my co-host Steph of the, my co-host of Between Knits and Purls, Steph. She's called Farmstead Knits on Instagram and Ravelry. And this is a scrappy blanket using leftovers and mini skeins. And I'm using my Merry Everything and Happy in July swap packages that I got this last July. And I'm loving it. It's so much fun. So I'm currently on the second row of the blanket. The first row was all in shades of green, and now the second row is all in shades of pink. And I'm thinking the next row will be in shades of brown or blue. I'm just not sure yet. And just so you know, I have like 3 things on my brain that I want to cast on. So don't be surprised if next episode I have more things cast on. As well. On the shelf. Well, I have something done that has been on the needle since last May, and that is my second cast on of the Alaska Skirt by Wee U Knits. I am so happy and excited! So I knit this skirt with my own hand-dyed worsted weight silk and wool yarn in a sky blue color, and the colorway is called Annie, and then the purple-pink colorway doesn't have a name. I think I just probably dyed that up just for fun for me. So I combine those two, which normally a sky blue and a purpley pink kind of doesn't sound like it will go very well, doesn't it? But it does. And it's because the saturation of each of the skeins is spot on. And the kind of like, well, when I say saturations, maybe I mean depth of color. I'm not really sure. But I love it with this brioche stitch. It's pretty dramatic, but at the same time, seems pretty darn elegant, if I do say myself. Now, I knit these using US size 5 and 6 needles, and this time, I took the advice of Alex of WeU Knits, the designer, and I went down to the size 6 of the pattern, and it's perfect. The only suggestion I would make to anybody who is thinking of casting this on is when you do the waistband, stitch the two sides of the elastic part that you insert into the waistband. Stitch those two together so it makes a circle. Because, like me, my elastic skirt is done, but I need to go back in and try and wriggle out the two ends of my elastic band and sew them together because they just keep on coming apart, making the waist larger, and thus the skirt keeps falling down. I know this because I wore it all day yesterday, and every time I stood up, my skirt fell down. So, like I said, the last time I actually knit on this was back in May, but it's very cold outside, and I wanted my Alaska skirt to keep me warm, especially in the mornings, because I get really cold. First, I get really hot after I take a shower, and then I get super cold. So I broke my Alaska skirt back out, and I worked on it until it was done. You know, at one point, I even posted this on Instagram because I felt like I'd been knitting on it forever, and it just wasn't growing. Like, you know how that goes. Like, you measure it at the beginning of the day just to see where you're at, and then when you're done knitting, a couple hours later, you go back and you measure it again, and it's the same length. I don't understand it. I must have been doing something wrong, but, you know, it is what it is. Well, Mr. Radio and I, like I said, we had that John Candy marathon day, and so I busted this bad boy out, and I knit this during the entire thing, and I ended up with 2 inches. Oh, and I ended the skirt. So first it was brioche of the blue and the pink, purpley pink, and then I ended the skirt with brioche in just the purpley pink colorway, and then I bound off using the super stretchy bind off. Then I immediately woven the ends and plunked this thing into the sink to soak. And oh my goodness, did it grow. Whoa. I love the finished length, though. And it hits me just below my knees, and it keeps my legs toasty warm. But when I was measuring it, it just never seemed to be the right length. To tell you the truth, I started the purpley pink ending rows just out of sheer frustration, because I was like, it's gotta be time. I'm done with working on this. I love this project, but this is, at this point, I'm just angry because for some odd reason, it's staying the same length. So it had nothing to do with me actually reaching my desired length when I cast it off. It had everything to do with me being frustrated with the mysteriousness of the measuring. Yeah. Now, since I have finished this and posted it on Instagram, I've heard from a couple people that they love it and they want to cast it on immediately. And I want to encourage all of you guys to go out and do it if you're even thinking about it. This project, the very first one, my elastoskirt one, which I absolutely love, I knit that in a kind of dusty blue and a olive green. And I love that one. That one's more rustic. I plan on using that mainly in the summer when I'm camping or hiking, and then this one, which is a little bit more refined, I plan on only using indoors, especially in the winter, to keep me warm at home or maybe at Thanksgiving at my sister's house, though her place seems to be a little toasty. Anyway, okay, so I've tried to learn, or I had tried to learn brioche quite a few times before the Alaska skirt, number one, and it just never stuck. And I was always so frustrated with it, and I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. And for some reason, this skirt, it was pure genius. It worked perfectly. I love it. And I had no problems. Okay, I did have a little bit of tension problems on the first skirt at the beginning slash end of the round when I was switching colors each round to go to the different, like either the olive green or the dusty blue. But I mean, honestly, the finished project, unless you know to look for that tension problem, you're not going to see it. So I'm not worried about it. And I had it all fixed by the end of that project. So on this second Alaska skirt, I don't have that problem at all. It's great. And I'll just be honest, guys. If I didn't have so many other things on the needles or wanting to be cast on, I would knit a third Alaska skirt. And I hardly ever knit things twice, let alone three or four times. So I'm just saying, I highly recommend it. Oh, and one other thing, WiiU Knits, she just came out with a whole pattern booklet on Ravelry of all these beautiful geometric color work patterns. I want that so bad. I might have to go and buy that this afternoon because, well, I kind of just love everything that WiiU Knits comes out with, so. You know, I'm a collector of her things. But I highly recommend the Alaska skirt. Personal skill set. Does my stash make me a hoarder? You know, my friends, last week I got an email slash letter from a friend or a listener of the show. And they asked me if I would mind touching on the subject of hoarding. Now, hoarding is not one of my specialties, though I have researched it a bit in the past, and I have had past clients with this disorder. But it's been a little bit since I sat with this subject, so it was really fun and interesting for me to dive back into the subject and all my past research and notes, and to try and wrap my head around how I was going to present that to you. Without A, freaking you out, and B, giving you some helpful tools and thoughts around what to do if a person in your life or yourself is struggling with this or you suspect them to be struggling with this, okay? So I bet that we all wonder sometimes if we are hoarders just by our stash, our yarn stash alone. And I hope that what I have to say will not only shed some light on the subject, but also give you some hope and direction as well. So let's start off with what is hoarding exactly? And I'm not going to go into the exact diagnostic definition, and I'm not going to sit here and read ad nauseum from my diagnostical manual. However, I'm going to give you this a little bit of the lowdown, okay? So, hoarding, in essence, is a disorder characterized by difficulty in parting with or discarding possessions. And here are the few of the symptoms of a hoarding disorder. So the first signs are buildup of clutter and refusal to throw away things that are not needed. And this does include trash. Okay. Other symptoms include acquiring a lot of items that are not needed despite lacking space, persistent difficulty throwing things out, a need to keep things. Filling up rooms with clutter, rending some things unusable or rooms unusable, an indecisiveness about what to do with items, procrastination about dealing with the situation. And you will also notice that a person with a hoarding disorder also has what we call avoidance personality types, right? So they avoid dealing with situations, problems, and things. So, some other things to know about this disorder. The first thing and the most important thing that I want to emphasize here is that hoarding is a response to trauma. Let me repeat that. Hoarding is a response to trauma. Okay. So a past trauma, either in childhood or in adulthood, it doesn't matter which, has occurred in this person's life to make them feel a loss of control. One of the ways they feel safety and control is by acquiring items. So a person who feels as though life is out of control will seek to control something or somewhere in their life. Okay. Current or past fears of not having enough of an item, in particular food, will cause clients, or I'm sorry, obviously I was thinking about clients in my head, but a person to react with hoarding behavior. So if they feel like there's a lack of it or fear that they won't be able to acquire it in the future, they will hoard the item and honestly not even use the item for fear that they won't be able to replace it. And lastly, they place a sentimental value on items. So example would be attaching past memories with items, and thus it becomes traumatic for the person to part with the item. So hoarding is also characterized by a collection of items with a stated intent, as in the person states an intent to use the item, but then that intent is never realized. So that goes back to the procrastination and avoidance. Hoarding may not be recognized as an absence of motivation to utilize the resources and items at a person's disposal. Hoarding, though, is not messiness. A person who is messy, say for instance, leaving items around, and you know, the quintessential thing about hoarders is that you've probably heard is that they leave things like milk out on the counter. Well, a messy person will leave milk out on the counter. I remember, this is kind of a side story, but, you know, my older brother, my grandparents were babysitting us, my parents were on a trip, and I don't remember how old I was. I know I was super young. I think my oldest brother, who this happened to, was maybe 12, and he had eaten breakfast and got called away or distracted. And so he left his cereal on the kitchen table without taking care of it or finishing it. Then hours later, like late afternoon later, my grandmumsy, she came into the kitchen, saw my brother's cereal on the counter, and proceeded to eat the rest of it. Because my grandmother grew up during the Depression and she was taught never to waste anything. However, my brother wasn't displaying hoarding tendencies when he left the unfinished cereal bowl with the milk there to be curdled, right, on the counter. That's different. That's being messy, right? By the way, my brother is no longer messy. So when I look around at the random piles of projects that I'm working on around the house or the skeins of yarn I have yet to put away, it's not that I'm hoarding yarn, because I use the items every single day. I have the motivation to use them. Rather, it's that I may be a little messy or I might be in need of organizational skills, but I am not necessarily hoarding yarn. It also may have to do with the fact that I live in a little tiny condo of less than 700 square feet with very little storage space. All right, but however, let's say that our conversation has brought up awareness in your life around hoarding concerns for yourself or around someone close to you. What are you supposed to do about that? Well, the number one thing you are not to do, and I repeat, not to do, is to go in there and start telling them what to do with their things, how disgusting things are, and without any regards to their feelings, start going through their possessions to either throw them away or donate them. You know, that show Hoarding is not reality. And in fact, I have a really hard time watching that show because I don't know if they have therapists on hand and that they integrate that into the person's care, but from what you see on the show, that's not what's happening. But it's not reality. So you cannot be expected to be able to go into a person's house that is hoarding things and expect them, A, to be grateful that you are cleaning it up, and B, to have the hoarding concerns just taken care of because you cleaned it up. In fact, research has shown that if you were to do that, if you were to go into a person's home who has the hoarding disorder and systematically, without their consent or their engagement in the process, if you were to go through and clean it all out and out, and then you just left them just right there like that, that's all you did, if you were to come back 6 months to a year later, you would find that they had not only accumulated the same amount as before you were even there, but oftentimes up to a third more possessions, right? So it's even more cluttered, messy, stagnation, you know, scary kind of stuff, right? So hoarding is a complex disorder, and it cannot be solved simply by bringing in a cleaning and an organizational crew. It just can't be done, okay? So what are your options then? Well, the first things first, okay? I want you to put this at the top of your radar. You are to protect your relationship with that person. And if that person is yourself, you are to protect your relationship with yourself first. So you're not supposed to cast, I always get this word wrong. Don't go in with judgment, harsh words, meanness. Go in with love, caring, compassion with them. We talked about compassion last week. Utilize that knowledge, right? So have a loving conversation with them about your concerns. Use empathy and I statements when you're talking to them, such that, like, I notice that this is going on. I'll give you more examples of that later. Let them know how this behavior is affecting you and those around you, and how it's affecting the person themselves, the things that you have observed, such as, I notice that this has caused you to not be able to take a bath in the last few weeks. Something like that, right? And then I want you to listen to them without judgment. Instead of coming into the situation demanding to know, what is wrong with you? Why are you doing this? Instead, I want you to come into this situation with wonderment. Wonder to yourself, what happened to this person to cause this condition or situation? All right? Wonder to yourself. Now back to empathy for a moment. Put yourself in their shoes. How would you feel if someone came into your home and started telling you what a filthy place it was, or even just started throwing out your belongings? How would you feel? In other words, I want you to explore the why behind the behavior, okay? And remember that I said at the beginning, hoarding is most often a reaction or caused by a traumatic event in a person's life, okay? Now, you could test the waters, as they say, and you could invite them to give away or discard an item to ascertain the level of distress they exhibit when you invite them to do that. However, do not force the issue, okay? You can invite them, observe their reactions, and then use that knowledge, right? So let's talk for a moment about methods you can use to explore the why behind the behavior. There are many methods to engage in the conversation to find out the reasons behind the gathering of items. So like I said previously, the first thing you can do is express concern. You could say something like, I remember you used to have less items around you. It appears that these items are making it hard to navigate around your space. Can you tell me what happened? So I'm expressing concern and wonderment in that statement. Or you could take a more directive approach and say something like any of the following. Tell me more about why these things are here. Or tell me about these things. Or I see you have new items. Can you tell me about this? This is an important note. I want to repeat to you I want you to repeat to them that you are concerned about them, that you're not just coming in here and judging them. So you could say to them, I'm concerned about you. I'm worried, as I can see that there are a lot of items piled here, and I'm concerned that this is a significant risk to yourself and others as we try to navigate this space. Now, I know I'm using pretty formal language. You guys can take these as jumping off points. And all of these suggestions are on my show notes. So you can take these and create your own dialogue. When you're having a difficult conversation with somebody, it's really helpful to script out what you imagine the conversation to be or what you would like to say to them beforehand, instead of going in and just, how do they say that? Improvising, that's the word. Instead of just improvising when you're there. Scripting is very good, all right? So what if the person replies with something like, oh, I'll move that right away, or I'll take care of it tomorrow? Well, you can come back and say to them or ask them, well, how can I help you with that? Or what would be useful to you? Because I won't be able to leave today if I see that this is still here. This is going to be a problem that I will continue to be concerned about. Do you notice all the uses of the I statements in those suggestions there? Now, in the end, you can have all these conversations you want, but what is really needed is professional help. The most important step to take in situations like this is to advocate and encourage professional help from a mental health therapist in your area, right? So you could call on somebody like me as to help the person. So in closing, the next time you look at your stash, you may wonder if you have too much, and that is a fair question. So you could ask yourself, will you be able to use this all in your lifetime? Remember that life to stash expectancy or something like that, that we all use, that ratio? You can ask, are you actively engaged in knitting or crafting with your supplies? For instance, my stamp collection, they're just taking up valuable space that could be used more effectively, right? Because I'm not stamping at the moment. You know, for me, I know that my stash is large. However, I also know that I am actively engaged in using the items I have collected. I mean, for heaven's sakes, in the last month, I've completed seven projects. That's pretty impressive, right? Now, some of these yarns hold great emotional value to me. I've placed that emotional context to that skein of yarn. Like the yarn I bought while on my honeymoon. All of that yarn has great emotional impact to me. But other yarn I hold on to because I just thought I might one day use them. Like the yarn I unwound from some sweaters I got at the secondhand store. I have no intention of using that yarn. In fact, I don't even like it. So why am I holding on to it? There's something that could be donated. Or the stamp collection I got at a garage sale that was a great deal. It was super good, but I'm not a paper crafter at heart. Yes, I journal, and I've tried art journaling. It's not sticking, but I'm trying it. But I'm not a paper crafter, and I have few intentions of ever using them. So these things I can readily let go of. And so can you if you take a moment to contemplate your intentions and motivations around the items you have collected. Now, if any of you have need of professional services in your area, I encourage you to look that up. There are hoarding websites that you can join as far as getting support, and I have those linked in my show notes. There is a hoarding disorder national website. I can't remember if that's the term for it or not, that I will also link. And I just want to encourage you to just keep looking in your area. The apps these days, like betterhelp.com or Talkspace, these are great opportunities for people to obtain services that otherwise might not have been able to. And it's my understanding, I'm not positive, but it's my understanding that they do take insurance. So I just want to encourage you, if you're struggling with any kind of mental health concerns, depression, anxiety, adjusting to a new life change, or what we talked about today, hoarding, I encourage you to seek out services in that area. Time for Hygge. I think a lot of us see the Hygge movement as surrounding us with comfortable things. Our goal is to create a feeling of comfort all around us. And this may mean that instead of acquiring things like that next comfy blanket, we actually relieve ourselves of items that may be stifling our ability to find comfort in our space. So, because at its core, hygge is simplicity. It values simplicity in possessions, time, and anything else that may clutter up your lives and provide stress rather than relief. So here's one simple method to start decluttering your possessions to create a more stress-relieving environment in your home. Now, before I proceed, I just want to make a note that if you're feeling overwhelmed by what I'm suggesting, please invite a friend or a loved one over to help provide support and encouragement during this process. But make sure that they will not be pressuring you with their engagement in this activity. Okay? So the first thing is, you want to collect 3 large plastic bins. And you want to label each of the bins as follows. 1, to keep. 2, to donate. And the 3rd, to throw away. Then I want you to choose one space in your house to go through. Only one, mind you. Now, if that is a larger space, like say the kitchen, perhaps you want to divide that space in half or maybe even in fourths and only work on that one half or fourth of that space today. To give you a little extra help in the process, it may also be helpful for you to set, say, a timer for 15-minute intervals. So every 15 minutes, you take a break and do something else, like knit or watch a few short YouTube videos or take the dog out or make yourself a cup of coffee, whatever you say. In addition, it may also be helpful to put a time limit on the entire activity. So you would say for a total working time of 1 to 2 hours. So that doesn't include the breaks that you might take. And honestly, guys, you'd be surprised at how much you get done in that time frame. Personally, I always do the 1 hour goal. 2 hours seems a little too much for me. So that's just how Emily does it. Now, as you go through your room, you're simply going to pick up an item to determine if A, have you used the item in the last 3 months? B, does it have a purpose in your home? Even if that purpose is to provide you comfort or joy, like my paintings on my wall, right? And C, would this be better off in someone else's space? As you go through each item, place them in the appropriate bin, either the to keep, the to donate, or the throw away bin. When all is said and done, you want to take the trash bin out to the trash, put the donate bin in your car, and if you're not too tired, you may now put the items in your keep bin in its rightful place in your home. So here's a last note. One thing that I always find useful is to take the donate items to the donation location the same day. I find that if I leave them there, either in my house or in my car, I'm going to find an excuse to go through it and take out items I think I need. Do you hear that? I think I need. I also always reward myself when I do that. So usually this is by taking Mr. Radio with me. And then after we go out and drop off the things at the donation site, we then go and get a treat, like go out to eat. And in this way, I'm getting a treat and a reward, but I'm not bringing in a new item into my home after all the work I just did. Now, I want to reiterate that this is just the way that Emily does it. As far as going through items in my home. This is not something that I got from, I can't remember the name of the thing. I should have looked it up beforehand. Something about joy. Does this spark joy? I know that's a phrase, right? This is not something I got from any of those people. This is just something that's worked for me. And it's worked for a few of my clients as well, who have felt that they're on the verge of hoarding when in fact they were just messy and stressed in life, so they were accumulating things. Oftentimes, impulsive shopping is a reaction to stress in life, and where the stress has actually gone beyond stress and is now into the anxiety realm. So when I put it in perspective like that, my clients have a lot more ability and strength to do this process on their own. So I just want to encourage you that if this doesn't sound like the way that you want to go about cleaning out and deciding what to keep and what not to keep, you choose your own method. Go ahead and research out whatever feels right for you. You don't have to always take my word for things. I encourage you to explore new and exciting ways to conquer the challenges that are in our lives. Corner. All joy reminds, it's never a possession, always a desire for something longer ago, or further away, or still about to be. C.S. Lewis. Well, my friends, our time has come to a close. Thank you so much for joining me today on episode 50. Can you believe it? I've done 50 episodes. It's so exciting. I was contemplating doing that self-care challenge again in December because I am doing it for my people at my office again. But I think I'm not going to do that before us this time. Just know that if you would like a copy of any of the self-care prompts that I send to the employees, I can totally send that on to you. It would be my honor. But in the meantime, guys, thank you so much for joining me today. It was a blast catching up with you. And remember to knit what you love and love what you knit. Ta-ta for now. Thank you.